Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the sheep and the goat story comes back again. Well, what's the matter with the goats? Nothing. It's just what shepherds did at night to keep the animals from trying to mate. Nothing wrong with them. Jesus just says there is going to be a separation. And we notice in the text that the separation comes after they give a report. Here's what I did for you, Jesus. And then he says, okay, you've done enough, you go over here. You didn't do enough, you go over here. Right? No. They get divided before they say a word. They get divided before they even know why they got divided. They might not even know. What am I standing over here for? Why am I not over there? What's going on anyway? Jesus, we don't remember ever seeing you. When did we see you and do these things for you? They both ask the same question. Except we find out what's in their hearts. Many people will look at this text and say, see, you don't get in heaven, if you get into heaven is the way they talk, you don't get into heaven just by believing, you have to do something as well. Point taken. But do you do it to get in, or do you do it because you're in already? You see, the problem that we as Christians have is not a problem of whether we can do enough for God to say, come on into my kingdom. That's already determined by the Lord. We are going to be His. It is much more common, anyway, for us as Christians to slow God down. Wait a minute, God, I don't want to do all that stuff. If I get in because I believe in you, then doesn't matter if I do anything, do it, does it? I've often likened it to the Lord driving the car and having his foot on the accelerator, and we try to sneak our foot in to ride the brake. I don't want to be that Christian. I don't want to be that different. I don't want to be that much different than everybody else around me. Why, they will laugh. I saw it in my gen ed classes. I don't know how it is for Josh in his teaching, but I saw it in my gen ed classes where if anybody really was touched by the gospel, peer pressure said, don't be asking too many questions about this. Don't be too interested. Don't try to dig too much into this because everyone around you will say, what, you really buy into that stuff? It was very hard for anybody to really express their interest. Peer pressure in this world often works that way for us. We hear the good news. And it's not that we don't want to act. We do. But we can often hold back. We can often say, maybe another time, maybe another place. And thus, our confession of sin is much more rightly, Lord, the things I have left undone. That's the danger of salvation by grace. I'm not worried about how much am I doing enough? When I could say there is a way in which the Lord can work even more through me because I'm not putting on a show. It's not quite like those who say we didn't know anything about it, because we do know that in our life we have lots of decisions to make. We can make a decision that is in keeping with being Christian, loving people for whom Christ died, or holding back and saying nothing, or thinking just about ourselves. If I'm showing off for Jesus, then I want everyone to know it. If Jesus isn't close at hand, well then, if I get asked to do something, nah, I don't need to do that. Well, the Lord says we're all free anyway. His death on the cross frees us for life everlasting and frees us to be proud in the world in which we live. It's not a question of whether one is true or another. They're both true. There are times when we have held back, when we have said nothing, and there are times when we have acted and stood tall and proud to be stating that we are Christians. They both happen. We're not trying to impress God with anything. He knows we can never get out of our eternal death into eternal life, and thus our Lord Jesus died on the cross and has delivered us into the kingdom. So when we talk as Christians on Sunday morning, we don't talk about what do you have to do to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Believe he's your Savior, and you will be saved. But as the little phrase goes, we're saved to serve. To look around in our world and to say, how much can we stretch to be able to involve ourselves in the lives of others? It can be in our time and our talents and our treasures. It can be in our prayers. It can be in our scripture reading where we look for God to give us guidance. Where do we go in the future? How can we best serve you? It can go in knowing that we count, that we are important, that every single person in the body of Christ has gifts to use and opportunities to share. Sometimes individually when we're just all by ourselves with somebody, sometimes as part of our congregation. In the Christian or the Lutheran writings, particularly in something called the Formula of Concord, there is a squabble that goes on. It's a squabble that goes on among Christians. It's a squabble about holy living. And sanctification is what we call that. Justification, we are declared righteous because Jesus died and rose for us. But what about sanctification? What about how do we motivate people to live out a Christian life? Well, there are some who would say, okay, you're saved, now you get to work. And that kind of top-down, I'm going to tell you what you better do now for Jesus. There are some who say, preach the justification, you're saved by Jesus, and don't say another word. The Lord will have to move people as he will, and it's not your job to put any ideas in their mind. I think the middle ground is to say we are saved and redeemed. We are at peace with God, but we at least need to identify for each other where are the ways at each stage of our lives where we can love and serve our Lord by caring for fellow members of our body of Christ, those here and those not, and how we can love people out in our world, those who are Christian and those who are not. As soon as we turn that into a demand, then it sounds like God is the enemy, and he is not. The assumption thereby is that because we are in Christ, as we hear of these opportunities, we don't have to have our arms broken. We don't have to be berated. But there's a risk in it. There's a risk that there are things that we see that collectively and individually we could do that won't get done, because our old sinful nature can rear its ugly head and say, nope, I'm not going to do that. I don't care if you say I can do it or not. And so we need each other. We need to identify one to another, mouth to mouth, ear to mouth. These are things you're good at. These are things where I see God's gifts that he's given to you. That we don't say, well, I'm doing enough, but that we say, how can we stretch? How can we grow in the ways that we serve our Lord by loving others? How can we be part of that community that says, here am I, send me? If we start getting berated about it, and if I stand up here and start pounding the pulpit, and you better do this and you better do that, I know in my own heart that I'm going to resist. I know that any time somebody starts telling me what I have to do, my hackles are going to be raised and I'm going to say I'm going to do nothing. or I might do only what's demanded of me, and that's enough. And that squabble went on, has been going on throughout church history. And so there's a particular place in the Formula of Concord where it says, preach the sweet joy for the body of Christ to respond to those out there. And if they don't, then bring down the power of God's wrath on them, and God warns that he will punish. So it's right within the understanding of how do we do this. If you haven't figured it out, I'm on the side that says, I'm going to give you everything I can to suggest, here are the ways in which we can serve. And I say we, not just you, because I'm not your boss. But here's the ways in which the Lord gives us the joy of serving. Yes, it's hard. Certainly it's hard. And so it's easy to say, well, I'll do the things that are easy for me, and I don't want to be stretched. But then think about how our Lord stretched himself from heaven above to putting his arms on a cross so that we might live forever, so that every human being on this earth might live forever. And thus what he puts on our hearts is finding a way to love and give witness, not just by actions, but with our mouths, to say the hope that fills us says this world is not all there is. The Lord says he is going to open his arms once again to say, come on in, blessed of my Father. And it is the desire of the Lord that every human being on earth will be included in that crowd. There are some we know. Some, if they are resistant to it, at least that we pray, Lord, find somebody to help them hear the good news. If we can, instead of saying what they must do, we can share the joy of what has happened to us. We are at peace with God forever, and we want you to have that joy as well. And to trust that the Spirit who breathed into Adam and Eve, that first Adam, and breathed life back into the second Adam in that tomb, who came forth and breathed everlasting life on us, will work through our tongues with those who maybe would be called the least of these my brethren, the ones who are put down, the ones who are the marginalized, the ones where it doesn't seem like they deserve anything. None of us do. But every one of us lives by that grace and that peace. And our greatest joy is in being able to share that message and trust to the Holy Spirit the growth that can come. It's not always going to be in what we say. We're not to go forth from here and say, Lord, you give me things I can't do, or would the pastor please quit talking about that? But just to keep our ears and our eyes open for encouraging others, for being in community with others, for rejoicing and celebrating that joy, and knowing that through that the Lord will touch people and will help them also to have that peace that passes all understanding, so that when he comes back, everyone for whom he has died will be in his presence. If everyone had already heard the message who was going to become a Christian, it'd be judgment day today. He doesn't come because we still have that chance. We provide with our time and talents and treasures that we might be enriched and strengthened and recharged for that work which he would have us do. Not work that's hard, but work that's joy. Joy for the joy set before him and before us, that people will be loved into eternity through the words that we share about the Lord whom we worship. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.